this season hasn't gone according to plan. Not that one ever has. It's just that this season's gone even more off-piece than usual. The first inklings became clear in very late spring, i.e. summer, when I said to Jules, my girlfriend, "Do you know what? I might not launch the sailfish this year." And she pointed out in her irritatingly perceptive way, "It's still in the water. You haven't actually taken it out yet." Well, she did have a point. She always does. She's a woman. So as a diversionary tactic, I instigated a pointless argument about how jolly very well dare she call Marlin, my fair and comely maiden of the mud, it. Only I'm allowed to call my boat it. It's a new rule I just made up. The fact is, Marlin had nested on her private mud pat alongside a pontoon in one of Morden's most exclusive boutique boatyards, this is the one with the tap, since last November. Not only that, but the tap, which is rumoured to have water in it, even has a code, although no one's ever cracked it yet, though thousands have tried. Naturally, such facilities don't come cheap, and those who can't afford such conveniences are often forced to downgrade to Monte Carlo for overwintering. As for me, well, apparently I'm absolutely loaded. I gathered that because whenever I ask the cost of anything remotely nautical, and in Morden everything's remotely nautical, I'm told either A, "You can afford it, Dave," or B, "Not as much as you might think, Dave." That's nice to know, but it'd be nice to know how they know, seeing as my own bank doesn't even know what's in my account. So, as Midas of the Mud, it's been made clear to me that it's my public duty to spread my millions around, so as well as keeping Marlin on a pontoon mud berth where they charge per inch or part thereof, per minute or part thereof, I've also been paying to store my trailer ashore at the same time. When Jules suggested unhelpfully, "If you're not going sailing, wouldn't it make more sense to put your boat on the trailer?" I tersely replied, "Don't call it it." I think I won that point. The reality was that despite my untold riches, my work-life boat balance was all skewed. I was too busy at work, that's my real job, not PBO, to either lay my boat up or prepare her properly for the season, let alone find time to go sailing. It was all getting on top of me. Marlin was in the water, but out of commission, and that has to be one of the most disheartening situations for a sailor. It was then that the matter was taken out of my hands. I was taken out of commission as well. For the first time in my life, I became legless without visiting the Queen's Head. I had contracted a very rare viral infection that temporarily paralysed my legs and landed me in hospital. I'm better now, I've made a full recovery, but it made me think. You see, normal people would find the confines of an MRI scanner claustrophobic, but not a sailfish owner. After the first half hour in the cosy tube, I was planning soft furnishings, choosing fabrics, and thinking of little improvements to the layout. These are pretty much the favourite pastimes of sailfish folk, who generally favour 1970s colour schemes of orange, brown, purple, lime and yellow, although it's becoming increasingly difficult to get all of those colours in a single fabric. So that was one thought, but I had others while at the helm of my bed, plugged into an impressive array of instruments that a Sunseeker owner wouldn't be too embarrassed by. Some beeped periodically like panicking echo sounders. Others had charts and graphs that doctors and nurses stared at with the same blank confusion that any decent integrated GPS chart plotter AIS nav thingy produces. Tapping them didn't help much. Meanwhile, I lay there on autopilot and counted the ceiling tiles, 429 as a matter of fact, and I checked and double-checked 429 every time. Then I thought, this is actually a bit like sailing a sailfish. The bed and everything within reach was my universe, the ceiling my sky, a curtain for a far horizon. The passage was more through time and mind than space. And that applies even more so in a sailfish than faster boats. And the toilet arrangements were identical. There's no doubt, I thought, sailing equips you better for life. The trick is not to let life get in the way of sailing. And I had another thought. I craved to be back on the water. And it happened, thanks to Bill and Sue Cousins and the Queen. There I was, a little wobbly, on the bow of their motor barge, Isambard, one of a thousand boats sailing down the Thames in the Queen's Diamond Jubilee pageant. Jules waved at me from Chelsea Bridge. The Queen waved, and I waved back. It must have made her day. It made mine. Then I had another thought. Maybe I will launch Marlin this year, even though she's already in. And I really don't mind if Jules calls her it. And I've also forgiven the Queen for not inviting Marlin to the pageant in the first place. Life's too short.